Hello, my name is Christian Hugill, and this is the Radio Academy podcast. Now, the Radio Academy exists to, and insert cheesy catchphrase klaxon here, celebrate excellence in audio. And that's the point of this podcast, really. We give you ideas of new, brilliant things to listen to and an insight into how they were made. So if you dig into our back catalogue, you will find lots of big-name guests like Scott Mills, Ken Proust, Jane and Fee, Jackie Brambles, John Holmes, Rhys Parkinson, and loads more. Plus, handy how-tos on anything from making new jingles, making companion podcasts, breakfast show stunts, to doing news in the best possible way. We also play you highlights of Radio Academy events, and that's what we're doing this week. After 14 years, Nick Grimshaw left Radio 1 just over 12 months ago. Now, he's written a book called Soft Lad, and in it, amongst loads of other things, he talks about falling in love with radio. Host of Radio 1 Early Breakfast and Grimmy's mate Ariel Free spoke to Nick for us at an event in London a couple of weeks ago. And this is just a couple of best bits where he also talks about getting a foot in the door of Radio 1 and life after, including his new podcast. It is a brilliant chat, but to hear the full hour-long thing, you need to be a Radio Academy member. It costs just £3 a month and gets you access to all sorts of helpful stuff, including events and conferences like this. Search Radio Academy membership for the details on that. And in the meantime, enjoy this sneak peek where Grimmy starts with those early memories of falling in love with the wireless.
I can really remember it really clearly. And as in, my mum had a blue Fiesta and she used to drive me to school every day and she used to wear black leather driving gloves in a Fiesta in Oldham.
I love that. R.I.P. Fiestas no more.
Which is like, I think they're for like sports cars. And then she'd drive me in and I remember being sat outside my school and I'd been to the dentist or something and it wasn't as early. It was about like, I wasn't on the regular school run or I'd been to the doctor's or something, so I was going to school late. And I remember listening to Simon Bates's like love songs. What was it called? Our Tune. And I remember listening to a story on that and being sat on the edge of my seat listening to the radio, like, you know, in the war. And they'd like watch the radio. I remember doing it and then seeing my mum doing it.
Yeah.
And then I remember being like, wow, this story that's just, and then someone's phoned in the radio to tell the world that they love someone.
Yeah.
And everyone's hearing it.
And was it that moment that you were like, I want to be in radio, or just like, I love
it? No, that made me just think I quite liked listening to something. And I think I got then that other people were listening to this as well. Yeah. And I think it's because we were in a car park and it made me think, oh, maybe everyone in the cars is all listening to this and hearing this story and feeling this story. So that I remember listening to that and always wanting to listen to it. And then it was on when I was at school.
So you couldn't listen.
So I could never listen to it again. And I'd always be like, that thing with the stories.
Yeah.
And mum would be like, nah.
It's too late.
Sounds ain't invented
yet. Did you ever do the thing of taping your cassette?
Yeah, I used to do that on the charts and I'd tape that. And then, because I grew up in a house with like four channels and no, like, I wasn't allowed a computer game.
Yeah.
We didn't have the internet. So we had to watch what my mum and dad wanted to watch on the telly.
Yeah, yeah.
And it was like boring stuff like Heartbeat and Corrie, and like just stuff I didn't love. And then, so I really loved Radio 1 and really specifically Radio 1 and nothing else when I was a kid on the school run in the morning because it was like 15, 20 minutes maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe, 15 minutes of just hearing, like, it just felt naughty and it felt wild and alive. And it felt, also, it was the first time of, like, hearing accents, really.
Really?
Because I felt like presenters on the telly were quite perfect.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And quite sat, you know, quite, like, hairdoed and stuff.
Yeah.
And I quite liked hearing the radio in the mornings because I heard, you know, Chris Evans and Sarah Cox.
Yeah.
And I liked that they got stuff wrong and that they got the time wrong and like Sarah might not know what day it was. Yeah. And that's quite, like, I quite like that. It felt like that's a real person.
She was very good at that, isn't she? I remember her introducing a rapper called Birdie Nam Nam and she just heard going, Birdie Nam Nam! What sort of name is that? Like, I was like, this is absolute gold. Because she obviously didn't, and not prepped, but it was just the realness of her going,
who's that
rapper articles of some Birdie Nam Nam.
And I just remember it feeling like really naughty, and it probably wasn't that naughty.
I don't know.
But it just felt like really not like the rest of the BBC that I was exposed to. So I really loved that, and I loved it every single day in the morning. And it was like that age of, I think Sarah was on when I was like end of my, maybe like GCSE era or something.
Yeah.
And like music was everything, and like liking stuff that my mum and dad hated was everything as well. And like Sarah and Radio 1 just like really personified that. But it was also really, like I remember I used to listen to it at night when I got home as well.
Yeah.
And I used to always listen to John Peel, and no one had listened to, like my mum and dad didn't listen to John Peel. So I'd listen to it in my bedroom on my own, and I thought I'd discovered him. And I remember like telling a girl at school when I was at her house, like, there's this guy on at night and he's called John Peel. And all the family were like, yeah, he's well famous. And I was like, oh.
Okay.
All right. And I thought I'd like discovered him. Because I didn't know what he looked like or anything then. Because it was, you know, didn't have the internet.
I remember hearing Zane, actually. He was my go-to of an evening when I was like doing my exams. And I was like, oh my God, someone who speaks as fast as me.
Yeah.
Yeah!
I'll do it.
I'll do it.
And then I got asked to do more and more telly stuff, and I got asked to do like Big Brother's Big Mouth, and I got asked to do T4, and then someone at Channel 4 was like, you should have an agent because
you're doing quite a lot.
Just need to like have someone like help you remember to go to work and like demand that you wash your hair before you're on TV. So I met with an agent, and then when I met her on Caroline, you know, and when I met her, on the first day I met her, I was going to go and meet loads of agents, but I met Caroline and just liked her because she smiled.
Yeah. She's very cool.
She was quite agent-y.
She is, yeah, she's very cool. She's a woman
no
of little
nonsense.
Words. Yeah, and when you don't know her, when you do get to know her, she's like,
So I met her and she was like, what do you want to do? And I was like, I was a bit scared to say it. And I was like, I don't know, just like things. And she's like, what's the dream job? And I was like, I want to do the radio. And she's like, what show? And I was like, I don't know. And she's like,
did you know then you went to the Breakfast Show?
Yeah. I'd known that since about 12. And then I said, I want to do the radio on Breakfast Show, please. And she's like, all right, let's do it. And then after that, she, just before I'd met her, sorry, my brain's like this. Just before I'd met her, I'd met Annie Mack in a pub.
By chance.
I spoke to Annie because when I was working at the plugging company in Manchester, I used to email her because she was Zane's producer.
Yes.
And then, or assistant producer. And then she was doing her Thursday night show. So we'd send like, I don't know, Moby remixes to her and be like, please play them. And then I met her in a pub and she was like, oh, Radio 1 are going to do this thing called Switch. And it's going to have been a Sunday night.
Yes.
And it's going to be like a youth strand of Radio 1. Which is
weird. It's a youth station.
And then she was like, who's your agent? And I was like, I don't have one. So that's ended up why I ended up speaking to an agent. And then that's where it
went. Do you think when you got to meet Caroline, having that goal of saying, I want to do the Breakfast Show on Radio 1 was useful? Like knowing what you wanted, having that there. Do you think it's better than being like, well, I just kind of want to be on the radio, like knowing exactly what show you wanted to do, why you wanted to do it, and that was the end goal?
I think so. I think it's good to be, I didn't plan it, but you know, people talk about like manifesting. And I'm like, I don't know if it's real or not. I don't know.
I do think you did manifest it though, because since 12 years old, you were saying,
well,
I used to be like,
when my dad had come to London for like work or a football match, I'd come and I'd get him to take me to Radio 1.
Yeah.
And like I'd look at the building and then I'd work out like a weird 12-year-old going, all right, so I'd probably go to this pub for my lunch and then let me figure out where the tube was and I'd like be on my own and I'd do the route from Oxford Street.
That's how it's manifesting, basically.
But I didn't know it was manifesting. I think I was just bored and just loved it.
So let's talk about your first pilot. Did you know how to run a desk on radio?
No, like we had one in our student radio, but it was from the actual 40s or something. So it was quite like rickety and it didn't really look like anything. And then my first time I went into radio, I went in on a Sunday night to go on to Switch with Annie, but it wasn't to present it. It was coming for 5 minutes.
Okay.
So I'd go in for 5 minutes and I'd do a roundup of like what's happened that week.
Oh, great.
So I'd be like, I went and saw this new artist called like Florence or something. Or like, I watched this like new telly show called Skins. And I'd like go in and like say what was going on in pop culture, whatever.
Okay.
Like that Manon Lorraine.
Yeah. Yeah, just you know that like
man
that.
And he calls in from LA.
Yeah.
I was like that, but for Annie. So I'd go in and do that. And I went in for like 5 minutes on a Sunday. And I wasn't very scared before. I didn't think about it.
Yeah.
And then when I got there, it was fine. And then when I left, it was really overwhelming. And I remember having like a mad existential crisis and crying and everything.
Oh, wow.
And yeah, I was going
Why? Because of what your performance on the radio, or just because you'd actually got to that point of getting there?
Actually got into Radio 1. Yeah. And it had meant so much to me. And I think I was like 23 then. So I think, yeah, that had taken me like 10 years of really wanting to do it and thinking about it and talking about it. So it was quite an overwhelming Sunday night.
And then was there like anxiety of being like waiting for, did you know that was a regular gig, or were you waiting for the phone to ring and be like, can you go in this Sunday? Or was it every Sunday you knew that you were going to be in there?
No, they just said come in for one Sunday. And then they were like, oh, we'd quite like you to come in the next Sunday, and then it became regular.
Great.
Yeah.
So there was never any of that kind of like, oh, are they going to call me again?
No, because, well, yeah, there was after the first one.
Yeah.
But it was really good, and it was Megan Carver was producing, and Megan used to produce Sarah Cox on Breakfast.
Great.
So when I went in and saw Megan Carver, she was like, hi. I didn't know what she looked like, but she's like, I'm producer Megan. And I was like, producer Megan. And I thought she was like, it was like meeting Elvis or something. I grew up listening to you. And she was really encouraging and really, she was great. Like there was no sort of airs and there was no pressure.
Yeah.
And there was no sort of airs and graces. And she's like, just come on and be funny and for 5 minutes. And if you want it to be 4 minutes, it's 4 minutes. And if it's 6 minutes, it's 6 minutes.
Great.
Don't stress out.
Oh my God, six
come
minutes.
Come in and
on
have
video.
A laugh. And like, she was like that. Do you know what I mean? So I didn't feel the pressure. And afterwards, she was like, that was really fun. You should come back next week. So she
amazing.
Was quite, she wasn't too, like, mystic in her guidance. She liked it. When I was in LA, I was thinking, what do I want to do now? And I really loved Radio 1, like, so much. And it was, like, better than I ever thought it could be. And, like, had the time of my life there, like, truly.
Yeah.
And then I was like, what would I do now? And I was like, I kind of want to do something that I like doing now, which is, like, having people over. And I think because we'd had the pandemic for 2 years, the one thing that I'd missed was, like, hosting. I love having everyone out for dinner. And I'd really missed it. And I was like, do you know what? This year, I'm going to have people around all the time for dinner. And I was like, maybe I'll, like, film it or something. Anyway, that was as far as it got. And then when I was in LA, someone rang and was like, do you want to do a podcast where you and a chef invite people around for dinner and you
that's
just have
weird.
A chat? And I was like, yeah.
That's so weird.
So I do that with Angela Hartner.
Yeah.
She's really great because
and do you get to choose the guests? Because they are
sometimes
fantastic. You've had Stanley Tucci
on
this
Stanley
week.
Tucci is on this week. We had Marcus Waring on, the Michelin star chef. Russell Howard was on last week.
Brilliant.
We've had loads of people on. But yeah, so sometimes we do. And sometimes we don't.
Okay. Do I ask any more about
no,
that?
No, like, listen, it's so, do you know why it's so good? Because it's like, it's still, I wanted to do it because it still allows me to like interview people
and catch up
with people. And it's not as committed as when I was trying to write my book for a year of doing a daily radio show. Like that book would have not happened.
Okay.
So it's really good that we get to do it and it's like a weekly chat. But,
and you get to eat glorious
and
food.
Yeah, you get cooked by Angela every week.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
I know there's a few people in the room. I know we've kind of focused a bit on the video.
Oh, you asked me, did I miss it? That's my final question. So then when I started doing the podcast, I was a bit like, hey, radio's good. And then we went on Radio 2 to talk about the podcast. We went on Vernon's show and he was covering for Zoe. And we went on Claudia's show. And then when I went in, it made me like miss radio.
I was going to say, was it weird being
back
in the building?
It's just like really fun.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, it is fun.
So could we see you back in radio in some way, shape or form?
Maybe.
Maybe.
I would like
never
to do
say
it again.
Never.
I think I definitely, when I left, I really wanted to make sure that I had a
break.
Long gap from it.
Yeah.
I didn't want to leave and go and work somewhere else straight away. And I wanted to have time to think,
what
do I like about the radio
and
now?
And also, like you say, you'd had that routine constantly for 12 years. It's nice to like pick yourself out of that routine.
Yeah.
And then see what happens. And then a podcast came along that was perfect.
Yeah.
There are people in this room, I know, here in radio. What would be your number one tip?
For getting into radio? Well, like you say, there's so many different paths. And like the world has changed so much since I was a young person because I just had to write like a letter on a piece of paper and send it to a radio station and then wait. That's rubbish. So I don't know. I think in terms of radio, like I listened to so much radio, either from my job or out of just love of doing it. And I think it's really useful to figure out what you like and what you don't like.
Yeah.
And then also I'd say get used to hearing your voice. I don't know if you ever really get used to it where you're like, wicked. Like, I tried to listen to the Stanley Tucci interview today and I was like, shut up. So I don't know if you ever fully get comfortable with hearing your voice.
But do you think it's useful to listen back to interviews you've done and really you've done to hear where you are maybe saying words repeatedly or you have phrases that you use constantly?
Definitely. Yeah. Definitely. And we did that. What were they called? Snoop sessions.
Yes. I realised I say like quite a lot.
Yeah.
Like and this.
Yeah. And I go,
which isn't bad.
So I tried to stop. So yeah, I think it is good to listen to yourself. And then also just really try and be as much yourself as possible. Obviously, it's a really weird thing to do to put a microphone up and talk to a wall.
Yeah.
But knowing that everyone or a lot of people might hear it. So I think it's quite, I think it's something that just takes practice in sort of getting comfortable in your own voice. It's not something that I don't think happens overnight where you're like, wow, I'm wicked at this.
No,
like,
I think
it takes a bit of time.
I think that's definitely what I found with you being on the radio is like, not that you overshared, but you talked about a lot of things that maybe some people wouldn't necessarily be like so forthcoming.
Really?
Well, I don't know, like.
Like what?
I can't remember, but you just, I don't know, maybe things that people would be embarrassed about or like shy about or whatnot. And actually, because you were so open and so matey about it, it never felt like embarrassing or cringy or anything like that.
Yeah.
Do you mean? And I think some people can put up a wall, can't they? And it's like, it's not about being the presenter on the radio saying this, ta-da. It's about being like, oh God, I went down the shops and I forgot to put my socks on.
Yeah.
Something.
I think trying to be like a presenter, like those presenters on the telly that I used to watch when I was younger, it's probably really exhausting trying to do that every single day for hours. So I think getting to be relaxed in yourself would probably make your life easier and probably make you better on the radio.
Thank you to the lovely people that are Ariel Free and Nick Grimshaw. They are both delightful. And remember, to hear that full hour-long chat, search Radio Academy Membership and sign up there. Now, if you like this podcast, but you've not quite had enough radio geekery and you'd like to discover more about what it's like working in radio, check out the Reproducer podcast. Producers Mark Jeeves and Jenny Nelson chat to other experienced radio producers to find out about their career path, the advice they'd give to aspiring producers, their proudest moments at work, and their predictions about how radio may look and sound in the future. Guests so far have included Mark Lockett, the exec producer on the ARIA Gold-winning Dave Berry Breakfast Show at Absolute Radio, Karen Pearson, founder of the production company Folded Wing and recent recipient of a Radio Academy Fellowship, Hussein Hassani, who's the mornings editor at Times Radio, and Sarah Crawley, producer at Woman's Hour off of BBC Radio 4. Now, bearing in mind I've been given this to read, it says here, so if you've ever wondered exactly what radio producers do all day, I didn't write that. I think that's terribly rude. Anyway, check out the Reproducer podcast wherever you get your podcast. You know the drill, you'll find it. But please do still listen to us. Thank you. Next week, we are looking at how to put on a big old radio event with the team from Magic at the Musicals. I love a bit of magic. It's a really good one. I look forward to talking to you then. Have a great week. Bye for now.